Hey everybody, Adam Messer here with Muses, Memoirs, and More. And this week's episode, we have Bobby Nash. He is an author from Atlanta. And I have to apologize, the first couple of minutes of the interview got cut off with the recording. But this is a great show. You're going to really love it. So it's going to kind of start abruptly, but you'll get into it and you'll see. You just basically missed the little introduction. So thanks a lot for listening, and we'll see you next week. Tune in to WRUU.org at 107.5 FM Savannah and streaming online at www.WRUU.org. Thanks.
WRUULP Savannah, Georgia, 107.5 FM, WRUU.org. We are Savannah Soundings Community Radio with Global Soul. Welcome to Muses, Memoirs, and More, Savannah's show about authors, artists, and entertainers. I'm your host, Adam Messer.
I sold my first professional novel in 2004, which came out in 2005. And it's been pretty steady since then. I've done a lot of work with short stories and novels and comics. I've done a couple of screenplays for some local fan films. Actually, two of which were filmed not too far from where you guys are in Savannah, down in Kingsland, Georgia.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, my friend Winfield Strzok is down there, lives down there, so... He comes up here from time to time. So what got you interested in writing? Have you been a writer since, you know, you were a little kid? Or
I started out with this grand desire to be a comic book artist. I started writing stories so I would have something to draw. And it took a few years to realize this, but I'm not that good an artist. a friend of mine actually was the one that really pointed it out to me. He says, you know, he's like, you're actually much better writer than you are an artist. Have you ever thought about, instead of splitting your time, trying to be good at both, just focus on one and see what happens?
Okay.
And it was information that was hard to hear.
Yeah, but, I bet it was a hard pill to swallow.
Yeah, but, you know, he was right. And... so I started focusing more on the writing side of things, and things happen, and here we are.
That's so cool.
Yeah, so sometimes you have to – sometimes it takes someone else to see what you can't see, you know. And I still dabble with art. I love to draw. It's fun, but it's not something I try to do as a career anymore.
Yeah, I know that one of the things that you like to do when somebody buys a book or a package or something like that is you decorate the envelope with fan art, right?
Yeah, I usually put a little usually down in the lower left corner I'll put like a I'll draw some character going making some silly comment about do not bend, and
yeah.
Even though it's like I pack these things so it's almost like you have to have a sledgehammer to bend them. Or yeah. I'll even put that on boxes. I'll mail out boxes of stuff and I'll put do not bend, like they can bend that box.
Oh, I've received some crushed boxes in the mail.
Yeah, I was gonna say. Then again,
yeah,
I have seen boxes that do not survive being shipped anywhere. So, yeah, but it's just something I started doing for fun, and people seem to like it. I have people now contact me going, "Well, how can I get an envelope with art on it?" And I was like, "Buy something."
Yeah, I know. I've seen where you do at the conventions. You also do like little fan art commissions, mm-hmm, for people, so that's, yeah, kind of cool.
Yeah, it's fun. Like I said, it's fun. I enjoy doing it, and it's not, you know, it's just it's fun, and it's for the fans, and it's not something that I have to go, you know, is it, what's an editor gonna think about this?
Yeah. Yeah, it's just free to do what you want. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah,
so Bobby, what genre would you say is your genre mostly, primarily?
Well, I write in a lot of genres, mm-hmm, but almost everything I write has a thriller element to it. I like to, there's always some scares and some chills and some thrills and some things like that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I love writing modern day stuff. Most of the stuff that I do myself through my own imprint, Ben Books, most of those are crime thrillers. You know, usually you're trying to catch a killer or some kind of bad guy or something along those lines. But I also do work for other publishers where I may write some science fiction, or I may write some stuff with pre-existing characters from comics or pulp or whatever, or play in someone else's universe or things like that. And even though I'm doing whatever genres are required for those, there's still a thriller element that tends to creep into almost everything I do.
I think that's interesting, because I like suspense. I like thrillers, you know, mystery type stuff. And I like a good cliffhanger. You know, the plot lines today, a lot of formulaic stuff. And I really enjoy when, you know, I can't figure out what the plot line's going to be. You know, or like, you know, at the very end of it, you're like, there's a little twist. You're like, oh, I didn't expect that. I didn't see that, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, I like to, you know, especially like if you're doing an anthology, I try to go, okay, I know my guidelines of the world I'm writing in, but what story of mine is nobody else going to tell?
Right.
And that's the one I want to tell. And sometimes I get it right, sometimes I don't. But I enjoy that as well. I enjoy that thrill. I used to tell people I enjoy killing people, you know?
Figuratively, everybody.
Yes, figuratively. Yes, I was at a library show last year, and we had to get up and introduce ourselves. And I think it were only like me and maybe one or maybe two other people
mm-hmm.
that did fiction. Everything else was either self help books or religious texts or children's books, and so. I'm like, oh man, I am like the odd man out here. I'm the only person writing like thrillers and mysteries and things like that. I believe the two gentlemen had science fiction. And so I'm like, wow, how am I going to follow, you know, this lady's talking about this. The lady I followed up, if memory serves, she had written this book about her life, and it was a very moving story. And I mean, she had the room like near tears, and I'm like, great, I've got to follow that. So I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to say. So I get up there, and in typical smart aleck Bobby fashion, I figure I'll open with a joke. And so I go up and I introduce myself and say, hi, I'm Bobby Nash. I kill people for a living. Which, of course, made the room go silent. Until I said, in books. And I held up some copies of some books, and then everybody laughed, and it was funny, and it was, well, off we go.
I know. It's crazy. You know, in fiction, it just depends on what kind of fiction you're writing. But you know, I was talking to a friend of mine before, and you have to kind of go through the life of the bad guy too.
Mm-hmm.
And, so like, for example, so I just released my first book. Well, it's not a full fledged book. It's a novella, The Blood Thresher, The Devil's in the Metal. And it's weird how your characters just take their own life. You know, they kind of start leading and doing the things that they want to do, and the bad guys get to do the stuff that they want to do too.
Mm-hmm.
So well, I think it's kind of I think it's kind of interesting though when you have the character conflicts, you know, especially when there's violence or whatever. You're like, oh gosh, you know, is this like one of the scenes that I wrote was where there was like a battle, and one of the guys had to behead another, you know, character, and you know, that's kind of gruesome, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But you would hope it never happened in real life, but in fiction it makes for a better story.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. And if you know your, as a writer, I mean, if you get to know your characters,
mm-hmm.
know them well, so that they don't feel like, oh, people I created, but they feel like real characters to you.
Yeah.
They will inform your story, which, you know, can be a pain as a writer sometimes, because I need you to go over there, and my character will go, do I look that stupid to you?
Right. Like, I know what's going to happen in the next room, buddy. I'm not doing it.
Yeah. I've seen this movie. I'm not going over, you know.
Yeah.
But it, you know, it's, but I find that, as big a pain as that can be sometimes, I find it wonderful because you get a better story out of seeing how they get there.
Yeah.
And your characters will inform that. And that's what your audience falls in love with. If you ask anybody about the character, you know, which characters, you know, literary or TV, it could be TV, but which literary characters do you fall in love with? And they'll tell you, and you'll ask, well, what about those characters? They won't go, well, this character solved this crime and this crime. They're like, no, this guy loves his daughter, and he runs into the danger headlong.
Mm-hmm.
It's the character bits that they fall in love with.
The one I was surprised the most with mine is I have this character named Greg, and he's the like really old vampire in the story. And he was supposed to be the troublemaker guy. You know, like he's always causing problems and, you know, never, it's never his fault though, right? That was the character people seemed to like the most. That was the one that people gave me the most feedback on. And I was surprised. Have you ever had that experience where, you know, a character you didn't, you know, you might not have personally liked was one of the ones that, you know, people enjoyed the most?
Not necessarily that I didn't like. But there were characters that I only intended to be like a one-off for, you know, in evil ways. Sheriff Myers, he's important to the story, but he's not the main character. And so once we're done with the book is ended, you know, we never have to see this guy again. Of course, then this guy appears in another novel because as things are, I invented this made-up town and county and set the story there. So part of another book happened in that same thing. And I was like, well, I'll just have it happen there, but we don't need any of those other characters. But as I'm writing it, this little voice in the back of my head goes, this would be the part where you call the cops.
Right. Right.
And so the sheriff wiggles his way into that. I'm working on the sequel to Evil Ways.
Evil Ways, everybody, was your first book, right?
That was my first published novel.
And if you're tuning in right now, everybody, you're listening to Muses, Memoirs, and More. I'm your host, Adam Messer, and you're listening to us on WRUULP, Savannah, Georgia, 107.5 FM, WRUU.org. We are Savannah Soundings, community radio with Global Soul. And we have our special guest today is Bobby Nash. He's an author. also, you've been in several films, right?
I do a lot of, I've done a couple of acting gigs, but I do a lot of background and extra work. You know, we film so much stuff here in Atlanta.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We do a ton down here, and that's good, though. I mean, I think it's really neat. And if you're just tuning in, we've been talking this afternoon, actually, about just writing and character development a little bit. Bobby, I wanted to, we've got you know, a couple of different segments, right? So I know that you were going to do an event today about comic books, right?
Yes, I was going to teach, do a workshop for Decatur writers.
So I'm a big comic book nerd. I am. I've been a comic book nerd since like 1986, 87. And so can I pick your brain a little bit about your comic book writing?
Sure.
Okay, cool. So Lady Domino, that's one of your characters, right?
Well, Domino Lady, yes.
Domino Lady, I had to flip-flop.
I didn't actually create her, but I have written her probably more than almost anybody except maybe Nancy Holder.
Okay, cool. With that, especially getting into the role, and I know you have an upcoming project that you can't really talk about, right? The big project that's coming out that's...
I can talk about it.
Can you? Okay, I didn't know. All right, so can you tell everybody what that big project is?
With the Domino Lady project? Well, there's two coming. There's two Domino Lady projects in the works that are coming. One is called is the comic. We wrote and published two issues of a book called Domino Lady's Threesome, which was a team up book that teamed up Domino Lady with two other characters. Usually they were old pulp characters like she was, or in some couple cases old comic characters that were all public domain characters. So Nancy Holder and I wrote the first two issues together, and then the book kind of went on hiatus for a little bit. I don't think sales were quite what the publisher wanted. It happens. I had written issues 3, 4, and 5, solo, and they're putting a trade together that'll be out, I'm assuming, next year sometime, that will collect all five issues in one trade. So it'll be five. It'll be five Domino Lady team up stories.
Oh wow! So you'll have basically like a trade paperback.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
And,
cool.
And so yeah, because the two episode the two issues that Nancy and I co wrote will be in there, and then the three that I wrote solo will be in there. And they're fun. They're fun little standalone adventures. The first part's a two parter, and then the three, four, and five were standalone. Were meant to be standalone adventures. And they're a lot of fun. I mean, I love the Domino Lady character. She's a pulp character from the 1930s. 1936, I believe it was, she appeared in six stories and then vanished.
Oh, wow.
She was created by Lars Anderson, which is believed to be a pen name, so no one actually knows the real name of the person that created or wrote the Domino Lady. Because most pulps were written in house styles, you know, or house names. You know, like you still see Doc Savage. Even though Will Murray's writing Doc Savage, it's still got some Lester Dent written on it, that kind of thing. So they wrote under house names. Well, anyways, Domino Lady's long since fallen into public domain, and a few publishers are doing stuff with her now, actually. And we're just continuing on that. We did an anthology. A few years back, Nancy wrote some comics. I wrote a Domino Lady novel, which was fun. It was a political thriller set in 1930 Hollywood, which was a lot of fun. And this is kind of how the pitch went. The publisher called me up and says, "Hey, how would you like to write a thriller with a Domino Lady thriller?" And before he got the word thriller out, I said, "Yes."
That's awesome. That is awesome. And sometimes there are opportunities out there that you just like, yeah, definitely. Yeah. You don't have to even tell me the details. I'm all in.
Yeah. And so that's those two are out. The Domino Lady Threesome trade will be out. And there's also a second anthology of Domino Lady stories coming out called Gentlemen Prefer Domino Lady. And I wrote a story in it as well that actually follows one of the Threesome comic stories. It's a sequel to it. You don't have to read. You don't have to read
the standalone
story, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but that's cool.
We pick up with two of the characters and follow them.
That's cool.
And so yeah, so those will be out. I'm assuming next year. I'm generally the last to know when these things are coming out.
Well, I want to ask you about your storyboarding. Obviously, do you set the script and work with the artist, or do you collaborate? How do you do it? Because I know with bigger companies, they have. The big ones, they do these little mini series and they have like, you know, all these little things that they tie in together, and it's like, hey, pretty much it's like a movie or whatever. How do you coordinate it?
The beauty of creating comics is there is no one way to create comics. There's no one right way to create comics. You do what works best, because really, as a reader, do you care how we put it together? And you know, as long as you're enjoying the finished product.
Right.
What I do, just because I like to give everything to the artist, you know, so they know what I'm thinking. I write a full script as I see it in my head. Panel one, this happens. Here's some dialogue. Panel two, this happens. Here's some dialogue. And I do that. But I also then tell the artist, look, just because I wrote five panels on page one, if you think four works better or six works better, tell me, we'll fix it, we'll go, you know, because the artist is thinking more visually than I am. And sometimes they can do things visually that will work better than me writing it in multiple stages. Or the artist can convey an emotion through the art that makes me go, we don't need this dialogue.
Right.
Or sometimes, ooh, we need to add a little dialogue because we're not getting something. Or so there is a lot of that back and forth collaboration that does happen.
That's good.
You hope it happens. Sometimes it does. Sometimes it doesn't.
Do you?
Usually, there's an editor between us. I always try to be available to the artist. If you need me, contact me directly. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times, there's an editor process there too that we go through. So
yeah, that's what I was just about to ask you. With online, I mean, I think it's made it so accessible. Everybody, right. You know, we can connect, via the internet, social media, that kind of thing, and collaborate on projects. And, you know, it doesn't even have to be the same time frame. We don't, I mean, like, you can collaborate with someone and use email or a forum board or a Facebook group or anything like that.
Right. I mean, I've worked with artists in other countries. I've worked with artists that the artist and I don't speak the same language.
Oh, wow.
You know, so yes, the internet does come in handy. It also allows you to do things when you do have that back and forth between artist and writer. When you write something, especially when there's a language barrier between you, sometimes when you write something, you have to remember that certain idioms don't
translate.
Like,
yeah.
So you have to be careful of that, and you have to do, you know, I had that happen. It was funny. But, you know, or you do things like, you know, you set something somewhere neither one of you have been. If you as the writer have a definitive idea in your head, photos on the internet, say, I'm thinking this for the bad guy's citadel, you know, or, you know, this is what I'm thinking.
Give some kind of visual reference.
Right, this is the kind of bridge I'm talking about. Or,
yeah,
you know, when I say they live in a postmodern apartment, this is what I'm thinking about. And you can give them that for reference.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, here's what the characters look like, you know. Or, especially if I create a new character, and it's like, you know, here's an idea of what the character looks like, or how they would dress, or things like that. And so there's a lot of that easy back and forth. And, you know, the artist will sometimes will send me sometimes it depends on the artist. Some artists will send me a rough layout and say, here's what I'm thinking, and I'll go, I like it, you know, or can we move this or move that? And then you get the pencils and you look at it and you see it all nice and crisp and you go, oh yeah, that's perfect. Or, hey, we didn't leave enough room for dialogue here. Can we move this character down a little? Or, hey, can I move the dialogue over to the next, you know, panel? So there's a lot of that play there.
Yeah, that's good.
And it goes, then it goes to the other steps, because there's what the workshop in the class I do teaches is all the different steps.
So here's a question about the workshop and the classes that you teach with that. Have you had a chance where someone records it and put it on YouTube or something, or are you planning on doing like a how-to book, or maybe even not necessarily a book, but maybe something like, you know, just a little how-to doc, you know, for it?
It's been discussed. It has not been taped. Usually I'm by myself when I do these things, so getting them taped has not been easy.
Okay.
I have a friend that's floated these very same questions by me and wants to help me. So we're talking about recording one, and he also wants me to write like a tutorial that we could put online or something. Or, well, I think he started as a book too. I don't know. So I have a friend that's constantly, you know, nudging me to get that done.
I think it's just interesting because with indie authors, there's so many different things out there. There are a million different tutorials. I mean, there's, you know, especially with writing comics or drawing comics or whatever, but it's kind of neat too when you have someone who's been doing it and they're current and they're not in the mainstream, you know, the big publishers, that they're, you know, out there working on other characters. I think it gives a better perspective on that for an indie writer or an author.
Right, and there are some really good comics out there.
Oh yeah,
and
I love Randy Bishop's Hawk of New York. I've been following that since the first time I met him at GnomeCon, and every time he has a new issue or anything, I you know, pick it up, and you know, I just love it. I think it's great, and it's neat to see the development that he's done over the years with it. You know,
And there's with comic books are not just superheroes, and a lot of people seem to think that's what they are. It's superhero stuff, and superhero is the biggie. The most comics are made feature superheroes, but there are a lot of comics. I mean, if you're a crime fan, man, this is a golden age to love crime comics, because there's a lot of good ones out there.
Have you worked with Alterna Comics, or have you seen their stuff?
I have not worked with them.
Okay.
I've seen their stuff, but yeah.
I think it's kind of cool because they've done that retro, you know, they've got a lot of like, I don't want to say alternative type stuff, but they have a lot of different titles, and they also have like the old newspaper print style. So anybody out there listening, if you want to check out like a different kind of line besides Marvel or DC, there's alternative comics, and they, like our local comic book store, they carry a couple other titles. And it just reminds me of, like, you know, like when I was a kid, they, you know, you'd open it up, you could smell the newspaper, you could, you know, like you touch the pages, you could actually, you know, get the ink still on your fingers. Mm-hmm. So I just love that. Like last year, I picked up Wolverine 1-4, the miniseries, the original miniseries.
Right.
And the first comic book convention I ever went to was up in Cincinnati. This is probably 1989, 88, something like that. And my dad bought me the Wolverine number one. It was like $20. It was like a ton of money back then. And I just remember loving that book. I never had 2, 3, and 4 as a kid, but just loved that book. And I mean, I would just stare at the cover. John Byrne, I love all the artwork with it. And, there's something about it. And then, you know, when you have your own book and you see your own, you know, finished product,
right,
it's like, wow, this is just, you know, it's a dream come true. And I remember last weekend when you were, you know, I met you in person for the first time. So backstory, everybody, I met Bobby through Randy Bishop. Randy introduced us. We've been online friends. We've talked on the phone a couple different times over the last couple of years. Last Saturday was the first time I actually met Bobby in person, and that was at the Savannah Quill Book Convention. And you came down from Atlanta, and I thought it was really awesome to meet you in person, you know?
It was a fun weekend.
Yeah.
Or a fun day, yeah. I mean, yeah.
I wish we had a bigger turnout, but I really enjoyed meeting all the people and having a good time, and mm-hmm. it was a lot of fun. But one of the things I was impressed with, especially, and I've seen it online or whatever, but you have a really good setup with your books and your comics and things like that. And you're always friendly, you know, very approachable. I think that's a big thing too with artists and authors, is being approachable, you know? Mm-hmm. So
that was something I learned early on. I don't know what kicked it into my head, but was that, you know, I realized that I could be nice to 100 people, but it's that one person that I have the bad experience with will be the one on the internet going, that Bobby.
Yeah.
Jerk.
Yeah. Bobby, hang tight for just a minute. We've got to do the station ID.
Okay.
And we'll be right back. So everybody, you're listening to Muses, Memoirs, and More on WRUULP Savannah, Georgia, 107.5 FM. WRUU.org. We are Savannah Soundings Community Radio with Global Soul. Tune in Saturdays at 3 p.m. to Muses, Memoirs, and More, your show about authors, artists, and entertainers with your host, Adam Messer. You're listening to WRUULP Savannah, Georgia, 107.5 FM, WRUU.org. We are Savannah Soundings Community Radio with Global Soul.
Early voting is now underway for the 2018 general election. Candidates for Congress, Governor, State Legislature, and other offices are on the ballot. Polling locations are open at the main voting office on Eisenhower Drive, with Civic Center, Mosquito Control, Islands Library, and Southwest Library open starting October 29th. Saturday and Sunday hours will be available only at the main office on October 27th and 28th. For more information, call Chatham County Voter Registration at 912-790-1520. The Ogeechee River Keeper offers monthly canoe and kayak excursions in all of the river's watershed through October. This year's paddles will take adventurers from the river's twisting and turning northern sections near Wadley, west of Augusta, to broad coastal stretches near Harris Neck, south of Savannah. The trips range from beginner to intermediate in difficulty. Boat rental is available. For more information, visit OgeecheeRiverKeeper.org.
And everybody, thank you for tuning in to us today. If you're joining us just now, you're listening to Muses, Memoirs, and More. I'm your host, Adam Messer. And we're on WRUULP Savannah, Georgia, 107.5 FM, WRUU.org. We are Savannah Soundings Community Radio with Global Soul. And today, our special guest has been Bobby Nash. Bobby is an author from Atlanta, and he's done a lot of things. I know that you don't like to brag on yourself, Bobby, but you've won quite a few awards, haven't you?
One or two.
He's being humble, everybody. He's won quite a few awards, and I think that for as an indie author, that's a big deal.
You know the biggest surprise to winning some awards is the fact that the day after it's announced that you won the award, publishers and editors that wouldn't talk to you the day before will. I'm like, guys, I didn't change the way I write.
Yeah. What was one that you were really surprised that you won?
The one that surprised me the most, there was this thing called the Pulp Arc Awards.
Mm-hmm.
It happened in Arkansas. We had been nominated. Sean Taylor and I co-created this book called The Ruby Files, which is a pulpy private investigator set in the 30s and 40s. And the first volume came out, and it was heavily nominated in like almost every category. And so we won a few. I didn't win, but the book won a few. But one of the things the book won was Best New Pulp Character.
Mm.
So Sean and I, split that award basically. And I actually went to Arkansas. I was going to, collect the award for us and all that. What surprised me is, so they put out the list before the convention, they put out the list of winners. And I'm reading down through the list, and there was one called Best Author, which was like Author of the Year, and that was just where people wrote in who they, wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm scrolling, scrolled past it, saw my name, didn't register, scrolled, wait a minute, scroll back up. Wait, I won Best Author? How did that happen?
Wow.
I know these people that put out books this year, and, how did I win, So that one surprised me. And it's one of those things that, it was special because it was not only was it a fan write-in thing, but it was also your peers voted on it. And so that was really cool. So, yeah.
That's really cool. Where can people find information about your books?
The easiest place to go is BobbyNash.com.
BobbyNash.com.
Everywhere. Yeah. There's links to all my social media. There's links to books. Most everything's on Amazon or Barnes & Noble, things like that. I'm not hard to find.
And you have a couple of new titles coming out, right?
I do. I have supposed to be out next, this coming Wednesday, is the Moonstone Books is putting out a book called The Avenger Double Feature. The Avenger is an old pulp character from the heyday of the pulps. You may remember he had the white skin, and he could make his face look into like however he wanted. He was a master of disguise, and headlined a group of crime fighters called Justice Incorporated.
Hmm.
He's appeared in comics and novels and all kinds of stuff. I wrote a novella, and author Chuck Miller also wrote a novella. And our two Avenger novellas are being packaged in one book, is The Avenger Double Feature.
Oh, cool.
And it's available in hardback now at Moonstone's site, which is moonstonebooks.com. It'll be in stores and on Moonstone's website and Amazon and all that stuff. Should be on that.
So BobbyNash.com is where they can find out information.
Yeah, cool. I'll have it all there too. But yeah, cool. So, and that's supposed to come out again.
Wednesday.
Yeah, it's Wednesday the 31st.
Great. Halloween, everybody. Halloween's coming
up.
Yes.
And my story's kind of a scary one, so it's perfect timing.
That's good. And that actually leads me into what I want to ask you about was with writing and publishing, what's probably, like, hitting deadlines, that's important and stuff like that, but what's probably the biggest challenge for you as far as putting out new books? Because I know we talked before and you said that, one of the harder things was having to keep promoting older books, but when you have new books coming out, what's something that's really challenging trying to, put a new book out?
Well, on the writing side of things, the challenging part for me is just sitting down and getting the work done without getting distracted. You know, you write a little bit and go, let me see what's on Facebook, and you're screwed.
Right.
You know, don't, and if you open YouTube, your day is shot. But in terms of promoting, I mean, one of the beauties of publishing today with the print on demand, making your backlists available, it's very rare for books to go out of print now. So even though Evil Ways came out in 2005, I'm still promoting it here in 2018.
Right.
And so you just have to learn how to promote and here and there and find places to do it. I mean, online is great, but that can't be your only source of promotion. Because, you know, you've heard people talk about the Facebook algorithms, how only a small percentage of your people actually see your posts, and just because they see your post don't mean they're going to click it. So you've got to get out there. You've got to get creative. You've got to do whatever you can. I have a mailing list. I have social media. If there's one out there, I'm probably on it. You know, I have a Patreon. I have, I do podcasts and interviews and radio shows, and I do book signings and book events and things like that to get out there and get my books in front of people. And the hope is that, you know, if someone will pick something up and go, ooh, yeah, I'll try this one, and they'll like it enough to go get the others. And so you have to do all of those things, and it's all part of your marketing. But you're not just selling your books. You're also kind of selling you.
You know, Bobby, I'm glad that you said that, because I was just thinking about something. You know how you introduced me to Rachel Brune?
Mm-hmm.
She has the infamous Scribbler website or whatever. And I did that interview with her, and we were talking about, you know, how do you meet deadlines and that kind of thing. And I appreciate you, introducing me to her. And I think that's one of the cool things about indie authors. We work together as a community.
Right, right. We're not competitors. I don't look at every other writer and go, ooh. You know.
Well, what makes me think of that is because she has a book coming out on Halloween as well. Her Vegas run, the Rick Keller Project book number 2.
Right.
You know, that's coming out. And, you know, I was just thinking about that, you know, like you've got a new release, she's got a new release. There's plenty of room out there for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I love helping share stuff because I feel like if one of us, you know, if we can help each other out, be successful, why not?
Yeah. This is one thing I try to do. I try to at least once a day promote something that's not mine through my social media.
Mm-hmm.
Some days there are days that I don't get around to it, but most days I do. And I have, you know, I've been doing this a while. I've met so many people that are writers or not just writers, artists, actors, directors. You know, I've gotten to know people. And so I have friends that when they put out a new project, you know, let me let my fan base know about your project.
Well, that's cool that you think that way, because, you know, some people don't. And right. She's actually, Rachel's going to be on the show next week. So I'm excited about that because, having a chance to talk with you this week, having a chance to talk with her next week. I know we all kind of have similar things in common.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what is really neat, I think, is, like you said, let me help promote your thing with my group of readers and so on. You know, I mean, like you being on the show today, talking about your new project coming out, I feel like, okay, there's an audience here in Savannah. I know you're up in Atlanta, but there's an audience here in Savannah that they might be interested in reading mystery and thrillers and things like that. And, you know, especially supporting an indie author. I mean, Atlanta, you know, to me, that's still, you know, it's not local Savannah, but it's still local Georgia. I mean, you're another Georgia author. So, you know, I think it's important that we help support each other, like you said.
I mean, I do as well. And, you know, it does not hurt me or my books in any way to go, hey, check out my friend's book over here.
Yeah, yeah. And that's something I think people, I think it's cutthroat, but it's not. It doesn't have to be that way.
You know, you get to know people, and I've gotten projects before because an editor will be talking to one of them, you know, on our writer I know, and they're like, man, we're one writer short. And they're like, I know somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And you make an introduction. Or, you know, so yeah, there's a lot of really, I've met a lot of really cool people that have done stuff like that. I've certainly gotten a few projects from people recommending me. I have certainly recommended others. I mean, it's still up to, you know, someone recognize or recommends me. That's very nice. And then it gives you that introduction, and then it's still up to me to close the deal, et cetera. But
yeah. Well, I know that you talk about, that you really appreciate your reviews that people leave.
Oh, absolutely.
And that
even
to
if
me
it's
is,
a bad review.
Yeah.
Even
yeah.
If
recommendations, you know, I mean, with mine, I've had like 11 reviews, and every time
that's
I get
actually pretty good though.
Well, every time I get a review, people, I'm like, oh, thank you so much, I appreciate it.
Yeah, because getting a review, the way I look at reviews is probably a little different than some people. When I get a review, the first thing I'm thinking, I'm just thrilled for two things. One, you bought the book. I'm assuming you may have stolen it, but I'm assuming you bought the book.
Yeah,
you bought the book. You read the book. You felt something that made you sit down and take 2 or 3 minutes to write something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that says something to me. Even if you just took time to go, I liked it. You know, that still means a lot to me, because as writers, we write in these closed off offices. I'm alone when I write. I don't get that. It's not like comedians or actors. You don't get that instant.
You don't get an instant. Sometimes, you know, I say this with my writing for the paper, you don't know what the feedback is.
Right.
You know, the only feedback that you get is that, you know, your editor still gives you more work, you know?
Yeah.
And
I started using the, you know, we were talking about marketing. You have to be careful with marketing. If your idea of marketing is everything you do is, hey, buy my book. Hey, buy my
oh,
book.
Yes.
Hey, buy
oh,
my
gosh.
Book.
There are people like that. They drive me nuts.
I ignore those people.
Yeah.
So I figure if I'm ignoring those people, then people, if I do it, they're going to ignore me. But there are ways to market without being overly aggressive like that. One of those is sharing your reviews.
Oh, you know, I try every time I go to a convention, I try to support, you know, an indie author, or two, you know, mm-hmm. and, but I don't, it's going to sound strange. I don't buy books or just buy products from them just because I want to support them. I buy it because I also want to read it or look at mm-hmm. it, because I feel like, you know, it's cool if they buy it or whatever, but you know, that's the thing that I love the most about the reviews is that they actually read it, and it took a minute, like you said, to put a review. I had one that really got me. She put a review. She gave me a good review, and then I sent her a message and said, thank you so much for the review. I really appreciate it. And she said, you know, which was, she didn't put it in the review, but she wrote back. She said, yeah, you ripped that world wide open. You can go anywhere with it. That to me was like a huge compliment, because you don't get feedback from people all the time, you know?
Right.
And it just kind of took me aback, and I was like, wow, this is, you know, this is something that just kind of hit me, you know? And I think it kind of gives you that, it recharges your batteries too, right? You're like,
well,
yeah.
And sometimes, I mean, and the same can happen even if it's a negative review. I had one several years ago where it was a collaboration, and a reader bought the book, read it, did not care for it,
mm-hmm.
and he emailed all of us that were involved, me, my co-writer, and the publisher. And it was through our websites. It wasn't like a Amazon.
Right.
Through our website. And so I responded to him, and I said, oh, well, I appreciate you. I'm so sorry you didn't like it. We talked a little bit, and, you know, and it was like, well, here, let me give you something else to read. You know, since you didn't like it, I'll give you this little ebook of this short story with the same character in you.
Mm-hmm.
And he liked that. So this guy became a fan of my work, and we still talk online, and, you know, but it was, but even though it came from a place of the first thing he read of mine, he didn't like. And so, you can, you know, you don't want to argue with people. If they say they don't like it, don't argue with them.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I did say I thank people for doing it. I share it, you know. Hey, you want to see what other people are saying about this book? Here they are. Good, the good, the bad, and the ugly, you know?
Yeah.
And you can make your determination from there.
Yeah. And if you're listening to us right now, I appreciate you listening to us. You're listening to Muses, Memoirs, and More, and I'm your host, Adam Messer. Our guest today is Bobby Nash, and you're listening to us on WRUULP Savannah, Georgia, 107.5 FM, WRUU.org. We are Savannah Soundings, community radio with Global Soul. So, Bobby, we've got about 10 more minutes for the show, and we were talking about character development. We were talking about comic book development, and then we've been talking, you know, a little bit about reviews and helping other indie authors. What is it that drives you to keep writing, and what is it that you just it keeps you going even on the bad days? Because I think that's it's easy when we have great days. I think that's the easy part. But yeah. I'd like to know what you do on those days where you're like, oh gosh, I have to keep writing this. I'm not, you know, I don't want to write another sentence.
Yeah, and those days happen. This is my job. I mean, there have been times where it was my side job. Currently, it is my job, and I have to treat it like a job. You know, that means from X number of hours you're in front of the computer. There are days you call in sick, but you know, but the stories keep coming. The stories keep coming in my head, so I've got to get them out.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you overextend yourself. I'm what they call a hybrid writer, I guess. I do my own stuff that I create from scratch, but I also work for publishers on characters I don't own. Like that Avenger novel or the Night Vale novel or any of those things that are coming out,
mm-hmm.
where I don't own the character, but I got to work those in. So my schedule sometimes gets flux or it gets in, or I will agree to do stuff and go, ooh, I overextended myself.
Oh, I'm bad about that. I'm very guilty of overextending myself because I'll say yes to people when I should be like, I have to check first.
Yeah. And then life gets in the way. Mm-hmm. The last couple of years has been, my personal life has been very tumultuous. I had two sick parents. My mother passed away. These are things that it just stops your productivity.
Yeah, I'm really sorry to hear that about your mom again.
Well, thank you. And then when you've got your schedule packed full, you start falling behind on deadlines. And you know, all of my publishers were very understanding. Deadline we shuffled, and you know, so I mean that's really cool. But now I'm in the process of playing catch up now that I'm back, you know, working. And man, it's harder to dig yourself out of the hole than it is to dig yourself into the hole.
You know, talking about the guy earlier with that that he didn't like your first work,
mm-hmm.
and that he gave, you know, he basically, you gave him a second chance and he gave you a second chance, right?
Exactly. Yes.
And I think I think that's interesting because I have a friend of mine, it's a really good friend, and I wrote a novella, and I didn't publish it, but I wrote a novella, finished it the first part of last year, so it's going on almost 2 years now that it's spent about 12 months working on it, and so I wanted to get some feedback on the first draft. Because I had a teacher one time, he said there's no writing, there's only editing. So you write, and then everything you have, you edit it, right? And I sent it to my friend, and my friend read it, and kind of avoided me a little bit for a couple of weeks. And I finally got him on the phone. I was like, hey, you know, did you have a chance to read it? And he was like, yeah. And I said, well, you know, what did you think about it? And he's like, well, you know, he's like, I don't know how to tell you this. And I was like, oh, gosh, here it comes. And I said, well, you know, I'm not going to get my feelings hurt. I just want, you know, to get some feedback from you, you know, because I like what you write and I like, you know, what you do. And he gave me the feedback. I had plot holes and I had, you know, some other issues. And I knew that because I knew that the first draft was going to be garbage, you know. But I wanted to have something to work with. the same guy with my new book that I wrote said that he didn't really like it. It wasn't really his, you know, his thing. So I think that the lesson I learned is you can still be friends with people that don't like your work. And that's okay. And everybody doesn't have to like your work, but you can be friends with them.
Right. And the thing to remember here is just because one person doesn't like your book does not mean your book is bad.
Right. Right. That's something it else means, I learned because I learned from that lesson. I learned to advance reader copies to people, to non-authors, to people that are actually readers, because readers will give you a better feedback than other authors, I think, about your story.
Oh, absolutely. Well, and because everybody's coming at it from a different perspective.
Yeah. Well, I think the authors, what they do and what I've seen is that they're a little bit more critical. Like they think that you want hypercritical constructive feedback when you might not, you know? Right. And it's like one of those things, like you have your own style, you know, like the way you write Domino Lady might be completely different than the next person that comes in and writes Domino Lady.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm sure over the years there have been people with, you know, the Avenger that have written him, you know, different ways. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think that's what gives us the flavor of life, though. You know, we all have our own things different, right?
Oh, absolutely.
So, hey, we've got about 3 minutes left, Bobby. Can we talk again about your new releases that are coming out and where people can find information on your because sure. You've got two new releases coming out. Can you share that again?
Sure. Well, the first one is the Avenger double feature, which is coming out this Wednesday, the 31st.
Halloween, right?
Halloween Day, yeah. The second is coming out in November. I don't have an exact date yet. But in November, there is a novel I wrote called Night Vale, Crisis at the Crossroads of Infinity.
Oh, wow. Tell me about that.
Night Vale is a character from AC Comics out of Florida. I fell in love with this character when she first appeared in the 80s in comics. When I was in high school, ran across it and said, oh, my God, this is an awesome character. I want to write her one day. And I've made multiple attempts over the years to pitch a story to the publisher of the comics and have been turned down multiple times. A publisher that I've done work for licensed the AC Comics characters to do novels. So I was like, as soon as I heard that, we were on a panel.
I bet you were like, ding, 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 ding.
Yes. And I was like, I call dibs.
I'm first. And, yeah.
And so,
oh, gosh.
So I wrote the novel, and the comic company still has to approve it and all that. I mean, you know, you don't write these things in a vacuum. The,
right.
The licensor has to approve it also. And I was so thrilled because the publisher gave it a rave review after reading it, which, because I was afraid we were going to hate it. Because, you know, like I said, they've multiple times said, nope, you're not, you know, you can't.
Well, sometimes it's not necessarily that it's the wrong thing. It might not be the right time, you know.
Yeah.
And I find that in my life over and over again. It might not be the right time. It might be the right thing, but it's just not the right time.
Right.
So this is your time. This is pretty cool.
Yeah. And so, like I said, it's a character I love, and it was a thrill. It's a little more sci-fi and a little more supernatural than mm-hmm. I normally get to write. So it was nice to kind of play, you know.
And they can find out information on the your www.bobbynash.com, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Right, and now it's under the coming soon. When it comes out, I'll have links and all over the place.
I think Bobby, honestly, you do a great job with with your writing, your package with your social media. You're very approachable. I mean, the fans, you know, they can reach out to you directly. And I think that's one of the really nice things. And I always see you posting advice on the different author groups and things like that, helpful advice. So, you know, I really appreciate that you do that. I feel like, you know, you've helped me a lot, and I appreciate that. And I'm just really glad that you had a chance that you could come on to the show today. So I really appreciate you coming on today.
My pleasure. Yeah, early on in my career, I talked to a few published authors, you know, as I was trying to sell my first novel. And I did run across some pushback. There was one guy that said, "Why should I help you?" And at that point, I realized that I decided that I wouldn't be like that. And I've met so many other wonderful writers over the years that have given me good advice. Or, you know, I have a handful of people I know right now. I could, you know, if I needed to run something by them, they would be there.
That's great. Well, thanks again, Bobby, for being on the show today. I really appreciate it. And everybody tuning in, stay tuned. At 4 o'clock, we've got Ed Susevich, Savannah on Film. And right now, actually talking about, because Bobby, I appreciate being on, but I'm going to share I've got a friend named Benny White, and he's a local rap artist. So I'm going to play this song. It's called Say No More. And it's a clean radio edit, but I just fell in love with it. So I hope you can listen into it while we're doing this. But thanks again, Bobby, for being on with us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
All right.
Baseline Fanatic.